Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Thank you. You too.
You're a very opinionated man on this subject of legacy and faith and estate planning and all things having to do with leaving that powerful legacy. This week, kind of an interesting subject, an interesting title anyway to your show. You're calling it The Fallacy of Estate Planning.
I know that's a pretty bold statement from an estate planner, don't you think? That here we're trying to create everything and yet it just might be an empty fallacy that we've done something right.
Okay.
And so we really want to kind of dive into this because I really believe listeners don't want to be in that place, which is, I think I've done the right thing, but yet it's not going to really accomplish the goals and the purposes that we've set out to accomplish. Hmm. And what I have found is that, yes, we've talked in some previous shows that there can be document issues, there can be family issues, there can be intent issues. But one thing that we really haven't hit on yet is really the mentality of the creator. And I kind of call it the it mentality.
The it mentality.
The it mentality.
Okay.
And so,
well, explain what you mean by the it mentality.
Yeah. So the it mentality is that I've actually done it. I've accomplished it.
Mm.
I've been a good citizen, or I've checked the box next to the list of things that I'm supposed to have in my financial plan. And so therefore it is done. And the it mentality is really one of the biggest problems that I find in estate planning is that the creator has kind of fulfilled a duty by getting a document.
Hmm.
And so the documents, we kind of know, actually end up not doing the work. It's real people who have to come behind the one who's passed away and fulfill the documents or fulfill the actual intent of the creator. So somehow we get in our minds that the documents have become a magic potion, or they will suddenly start to grow wings and they'll fly away just with me because I'll fly away, right? No, the documents themselves don't have the power to actually close anything or to create the proper legacy. The documents are there as a guide, but it's real people who end up having to do the work behind the documents themselves.
Mm. Well, you're not against documents. You like documents.
Well, we have to produce them. Yeah, we have to produce documents eventually, right?
Yeah.
And so, so you're correct. It's not that the documents are wrong. It's the thought process that says the documents are going to end up doing exactly what I've created them to do. And so, well, what documents are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
So documents then is number one, every estate plan, you need a will or a trust. So one of those two documents, as an estate planner, those are the only two documents I can really create to help somebody create an estate plan, to create an intentional voice that says, this is what I want to have happen if and when I die. Well, it's never an if question. It's always a when question.
Right.
But nonetheless, so the will then I have talked about in previous discussions is a check writing instrument. It is really a document that is designed to give instructions to the court and not many directions to the one who is closing the document. So that is the personal representative or the executor. So the will, because it's more of a check writing document, is really about making sure that someone has my power to do something with my stuff.
Right.
And either that or we utilize a trust instrument. A trust, many individuals want to avoid probate. Many individuals want as smooth a transition as possible. Many individuals need to assist family members in a particular way, specifically if you have minors in the house. Many individuals create a trust for tax issues. And many individuals just want to protect their family when they're gone. All these things are possible with a trust, but yet a trust still is only an it. It can't do the work when we're gone. Now, beyond the disposition documents, we also need financial powers of attorney, healthcare powers of attorney. I utilize mental health powers of attorney as a standalone document. We need documentation for access to medical records. We need end-of-life documents or a living will. So all of these different documents are necessary and needed within an estate plan. So these are the documents that we're talking about, but what happens to the creator is that we have a sense that I did my duty and I got them. I've got it done. The check mark is over. And so the documents really don't create the intentionality that many people have. So the documents, the will or a trust, their main purpose, as a matter of fact, by law even, their main purpose is to ensure that the intent of the creator is realized.
Okay, well, what do you mean by intent?
Yeah, so the intent really is everything. So if we do not use a document, if we do not use a will or a trust, then Washington law automatically takes over and it says, this is the pecking order by who is entitled to my estate after all of the bills and credit cards, hospital bills and everything else is taken care of. Maybe things are turned into cash. And at the end of the day, these people are entitled to what was left behind. Now, that may or may not appease the intent of the one who passed away. So people say, well, I don't want the government to get what I have. Well, that's a little bit of a misnomer. The government isn't going to take everything if you don't have a will or if you don't have a trust. It's not theirs to take. But it is their job that if you have not lent your voice to actually directing what you have, when you've passed away, then it is the job of the government to say, we're going to resolve a potential conflict before it can ever arise. And so therefore, by law, we are going to create who gets what and in this order. So, for example, let's just take a second marriage as a quick example. If I was remarried, which I'm still married to my wife of 26 years, so I'm in my first marriage. Okay. We have two kids. So now, whether my wife and I separated, whether I lost my wife, doesn't matter. Now, down the road, I get remarried one way or another. It might be my intent to make sure that my second spouse receives everything that I have created to ensure that she is well taken care of. But in a blended family, that might not be my intent. It might be my intent to say, well, I want my kids to have something if I were to pass away, and then I want to take care of my second spouse in this type of a manner. Maybe that's not my intent. Maybe my intent would be, well, my second spouse has more than enough already, and she doesn't need my assistance, so I want to make sure everything goes to my kids. Now, that's just one example of how the same scenario could produce very vast different intent desires. And so the entire objective of estate planning is I want to make sure that my voice, my intent in my particular circumstance is known to the world, because if I don't do something, then law is simply going to take over. And that may have never been anything close to my intent. And so really, the law favors and wants to know what the intent of the creator of the documents is. So much so that the law presumes and assumes that if you have a document, that it clearly is reflecting your intent. However, that may not be true either.
Really?
And so so let's think about that. I wrote down a couple things in my notes, which is testamentary intent is paramount. So if you have already done estate planning, of course, everybody who's been listening now knows my philosophy. Everyone over the age of 18 needs to have an estate plan. It's not about your money. It's about protecting you as an individual first. So therefore, every person needs to have estate planning. You may not have much monetarily, but that is secondary to ensuring your safety if you were in a medical emergency, if you needed assistance in your life, empowering those who you want to be empowered. Again, it goes back to that intent. Mm. So again, if you don't create a document with your intent, then the law takes over and they choose who is going to be in charge of your finances. The law will choose who is going to be in charge of your health care. So therefore, your intent is paramount. Number one, if you do have documents already, when's the last time that you actually pulled them out of the sleeve or the dusty binder right. that's sitting on your shelf? Right. And when's the last time that you have personally reviewed them? Not have an attorney, not even look at the legal issues, but you as the creator, when is the last time that you took responsibility again and actually read the document? Number one, do you understand your own document? Because if we're talking about intent and that this is your intent, if you don't understand your own intent and how it's written down on a document, how is your family? So number two, will your family understand your intent with such clarity that it's virtually impossible for somebody to say, that's not what they wanted. That's not what mom, that's not what dad wanted. They told me something different. Mm. As soon as you've told somebody something different, you need to make sure that your documents actually reflect that something different. And so, therefore, have you read your documents and do you understand them? Now, this is where I, as an attorney, get a little bit frustrated with my own industry, which is that many attorneys use just a fill-in-the-blank document. It's called a template. And the template was created for ease of the attorney, that we have taken the law, we set out some guidelines, and in those guidelines, we simply put your name, the kids' names, and everything is pretty much pre-designed. So therefore, if your intent is a pre-designed intent, then it might work for you.
Okay.
But
How often is that the case?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In clients that I actually sit down and discuss what their view and what their desires for estate planning are, it is immeasurably rare that all we want to do is simply get money to somebody. Hmm. There is almost always a different objective than just that one issue. Mm-hmm. So number one, when's the last time that you've read your documents to ensure that the document is clearly denoting your intent, that you clearly understand it, that your family would clearly understand it. And then ultimately, and probably the worst case scenario is, if you don't understand it, your family doesn't understand it, then you're stuck using an attorney who is going to ultimately try to explain this to a judge to make a judge understand it. Because if the intent is not clear, if the intent can raise questions because of a template design instead of a specific voice, then ultimately there may be a challenge. And if there is a challenge to your will, then it is left in the hands of a judge. When I create documents, my ultimate purpose as an attorney is, if this ever hit a judge or if this ever hit a courtroom, is my writing, is my ability to clearly create and express the intent of my client so clear, so radically clear, that it's impossible for a judge to rule any other way other than how the client has communicated their desire. So intent is paramount. Mm. And so we'll take up a little more of this topic here as we move into break, or right after break.
Okay.
But I've alluded that listeners can hear other broadcasts that I've alluded to some things before. So you can always go to legacyandfaith.com, listen to previous podcasts, and there's ways to communicate with us, ask questions about, well, if your documents are not meeting your intent, then we'd love to help you. Why don't you go to legacyandfaith.com, check out our website, and communicate with us.
Okay, looking at the fallacy of estate planning, the it mentality, correcting that mentality this week on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. We'll be right back with more.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week, looking at the fallacies of estate planning and the it mentality. Paul, how do we correct the it mentality, as you're calling it?
Yeah, so the it mentality is that somehow the document itself will fix the entire solution, and that somehow we've done it. Well, number one is, if I'm trying to educate listeners to move away from the it mentality, then you need to team up with an attorney that doesn't have the it mentality.
Okay. That's the first point.
That somehow the attorney will also be of the same thought process, that here's your document. It was great to meet you. Let me know if I can do anything else. In other words, there is no follow-up with an attorney in most estate planning because most estate planners are a document producer, and they likewise have the it mentality. The client did it, and the client is going to tell me if it is outdated, and the client is going to tell me if they need a update to it. Well, that's a huge gap in how the society has taken on the thought process that somehow a document will be able to save the day. So number one, find the right attorney. Now, this also means that you really do need an attorney, because if you're looking to save a couple bucks, if you're looking at going online and trying to do a document yourself, I am suggesting that you are directly in the mentality of the it, which is, I just got to get it. If the computer can spit it out, I can sign it, and I have it. I've done it.
Is something better than nothing, though? I guess that would be my question.
Well, and it's a little bit of a trick question, you know, because you're asking an attorney who has to think through every possible scenario that could go wrong. In most cases, I would say yes. They're having some expression is better than no expression, because at least there's a couple things that a document would at least accomplish. So let's take a will for an example. Is that, number one, hopefully it clearly denotes that you have testamentary intent. In other words, that you have thought through the process and you're able to say, I've created this document, and so therefore follow it. It's going to be able to list out, hopefully, your kids, because that'll be a huge part of making sure that there's something in the document. And then the second thing it will do is it will name somebody specifically for you that you trust to say, I want that person to handle my estate. So we're getting a couple things that are certainly better than nothing. And yes, there's something that is being produced that will demonstrate some intent. And then ultimately, it'll say, well, divide it in this way. Either leave that person out or leave that person a little bit less or give that person more. Treat my family equally, however your intent is. So yes, there is some power to creating something. But does that ultimately get us to the point of creating a full estate plan, of actually capturing all of your intent and really creating something that will be able to be passed off in a way that is as smooth as possible? Probably the highest goal of every one of my clients is that I want something that will create a smooth transition and doesn't leave a mess behind. And so, that is one of the major goals that we need to do. And what I find is that clients have more desires, more intent with what they've earned on this earth than simply naming somebody to close their estate and simply saying, my kids get it. So if we look at the relationship with an attorney, then is it a system? In other words, is the attorney taking his or her time and really asking questions to elicit your intent out from you? So if we're just into the rudimentary questions that you can find online, then have you really done something more than do it yourself? So if the only questions are, tell me your kids' names, what are their addresses, how much do you want to leave to each kid, who do you want to close your estate? We've got into really, really rudimentary basic questions versus tell me about the strengths and weaknesses of your children. Mm. How do they manage money? What is their vision if they receive an inheritance? Is that okay with you? So you've spent a lifetime of earning money, and so is it okay with you if within a year they have spent every last penny? And of course, we've talked about in the past that the creator or the parent's viewpoint is, oh, my children won't do that. Oh, yes, they will. So that's what I mean is that we bring a lot of assumptions to the table with this mentality of I just need a document, instead of talking through the assumptions and breaking the assumptions down and really getting to a greater, deeper question. And then one of the last things that we want to make sure that your attorney has is ask them, do you give unlimited counseling? So what if I come back and I have more questions? What if I need to ask make adjustments to my document? What if I change my mind?
Well, I would think that would happen a lot, and you want to be able to do that with your documents.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So attorneys really need to have a relationship process. What have they designed within their business model that creates relationship with you? And unfortunately, what I have found in the industry is that is really missing. It's a huge gap in the attorney client relationship in estate planning. So the wealthy have these type of relationships with their attorneys, but can they afford it? So in other words, they have much deeper needs to make sure that there's legacy passed on for generations, make sure money is not squandered. But how about the average individual? How about those with not as much means? We need to be a profession that takes pride in everything we do and give our full and absolute attention to everybody. Now, here's the other thing. Parents, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, or when she is old, that they will not depart from it. Here is another big deal. Is your family ready? So it's not about creating a document. This is about being able to transfer things from me to my kids. So that means two parties have to be ready with this document. Number one, I need to be ready. I need to have proper documentations and a proper relationship with an attorney. And then I need to find an attorney that is passionate about making sure that my plan is then transferred appropriately and properly to the next generation. So are we training the next generation as attorneys? Are we educating the next generation on this is the process? These are the steps that we're going to have to go through when someone passes away. So are your children ready? So Proverbs says, train them up. Train them, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. So in estate planning, do your children have the proper knowledge of, number one, what does the estate plan say? This is my intent. And then number two, are they ready? In other words, administratively ready. What happens in estate planning is we take a document and someone passes away, and it's the first time they've ever seen the document.
Right.
It's the first time they've ever met the attorney.
First time they found out they were the executor.
The first time, that's exactly right. Dang, I thought my brother or sister was going to get stuck with this, and it's me. And in my opinion, it could even be worse that now I'm stuck with my brother and sister to close this as a joint representation.
Oh, boy.
Great. So is the next generation, are they trained? Are they ready? And so... So therefore, we need to make sure that it starts with the correct attorney.
Okay, you've got the correct attorney, and won't they take care of everything? And you also alluded to wealth transfer.
Yeah, and so unfortunately, no, the attorney won't take care of everything. And there is another problem in the creator's mentality is that maybe we're giving a little bit too much credence to the attorney relationship. As a matter of fact, most clients that engage with me end up saying to something like this, which is, well, our other attorney isn't even around anymore. Our other attorney has already passed away. Mm. Our other attorney, we couldn't find. And so they've moved on. They've done other things. So having that relationship with your attorney is pivotal and critical in destroying and eliminating the it mentality. Look, we have to use documents, but it's much more about a document. It's much more about making sure that your estate plan is ready, that your family's ready, and that you consistently updated everything in a good, solid relationship with your attorney.
Well, it's a big subject, and we want to get away from the fallacies of estate planning, the it mentality, a lot more than just creating a good document. Sounds like, Paul, you have a great deal to say on this subject. You have a lot of passion. You like documents. I know that about you. You're very
We have to use the documents.
Guy.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a big part of it, but you want that ongoing relationship with your clients.
That's right.
People are intrigued this week. They want to maybe... involve you in their estate planning. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head on over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com. We have podcasts there, ways to communicate. We have educational sessions coming up. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Always great stuff. The Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.